Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hey. Good afternoon. It's the Steve Jones Show right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. I'm Chris Elio, filling in for the great Sean Carey. He's got the lucky job of going out and hanging out with Chicago, the band Chicago. Yeah, they're performing like right down the road here tonight in Sunbury. And it should be a good night. They got some great weather out there tonight. So Sean Carey's the lucky one. I am shackled to this show. No, I'm kidding. I love being here. I love getting my opportunity to be here on the Steve Jones Show. It's always a good time, and it's always great to be here with you. And speaking of you, before we get into anything sports-related or anything else, you can be on the show. It's as simple as dialing that phone, 1-800-795-9565. You can speak to Steve any moment now as we sit here and we wait for Steve to join us in the Sunbury Motors studio. Our show is brought to you today by Sunbury Motors, of course. And you can also, if you don't get a chance to listen, or you pick up on us later, or you're listening right now and then you have to go off and do whatever, or you're going to see Chicago tonight or whatever, you can catch the show later on, podcast style, stevejonesshow.com. It's always there, or on your Apple or Google devices, whatever, however you get your podcast delivered to you. That's how you can reach us. So what's going on in sports? I think the most relevant, I mean, there's a lot of things that happen. The Greek Freak won the MVP in the NBA last night. So congratulations to him. I think LeBron and Kevin Durant should win that award every year, but I think the Greek Freak deserves it. But well, we could talk about that later, possibly. But relevant to what's going on in our world here in the Central Pennsylvania area, and specifically News Radio 1070 WKOK. Last night, the beginning of the which team is the biggest mess in the NL East between the Philadelphia Phillies and the New York Mets took place. Game one, and of course the Phillies walked away with it 12-6. I knew that one was over once Steve Matz was robbed of a strike three called, and then Mikel Franco, I think he launched the very next pitch into the stratosphere and out of the park to give the Phillies a 7-6 lead at the time, and they never, ever looked back, beating the brains out of the Mets' bullpen, as everybody else has, to the tune of, I think, 13-7 was the final, or 12-7. So I lost count. Once you get double digits, it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter anymore at that point. And the Mets now sit in fourth place. The Phillies, they picked up a game on the Braves. They picked up a game on the Braves last night as the Braves fell to the Cubs. So they stand 5.5 back of the Braves. So hanging on for dear life. And Steve Jones has joined us. Hello, Mr. Jones.
Howdy, sir. Well, the Phillies won. I guess there's a parade today. Just kidding.
I was gonna say.
Just kidding. Nice little vote of confidence for Gabe Kapler.
Well, that's good. I mean, it's not his fault. It's not really his fault. I mean, you can question a lot of his moves. He almost spit the bit last night, actually, in reality. Like, he emptied out his whole, like by the second inning, he's replacing people. What's going on?
You know what? What's interesting is that, well, let's take the Mets for a moment. Let's flip it to the other. Take them
as far away from me as possible. Take them.
But let's flip it to the other dugout. There was a story, I want to say it was in the New York Daily News, where the discussion point is a lot of the in-game moves.
Oh, it's a disaster.
Are actually coming from upper management.
Yeah, Brody Van Wagenen. I heard all about this. It's a disaster. Telling them to pull DeGrom and all that.
Right. You hire look, there has to be defined roles. There has to be defined roles in anything that you do. And the defined role in this is, if you are the general manager, your job is to procure talent.
Mm-hmm.
Your job is to look at the roster. If changes need to be made, how do you make them? How do you go about it? Do you make changes internally? Do you stand pat? That's your job. You hire a field manager to manage the game. If you do not like how your field manager is managing your talent, you change field managers. But there's a reason why you have defined roles. And you're seeing this more and more now because, look, front offices, too often, in fact, one time they do it is too often, are making batting orders.
Oh, yeah. Managers don't mean anything anymore. It's in a lot of these squads, it's all analytics, all of it.
But that's why you hire these people. Okay? I don't need a guy from Yale telling me who to bat sixth. I'm the baseball guy.
All you need to know about, and specifically the Mets. So I'm a Mets fan, so I concentrate on my team. And all you need to know about what's going on in New York is that Jeff McNeil, who I believe has the third best average in the National League, regardless of that, he's hitting in the high 330s. He gets two hits a game for, I think, six games in a row, and they sat him yesterday because of a matchup issue. He batted exactly three times against Eflin. How do you have a matchup issue when the guy's only got three at-bats against him? That's a bad managing choice. I don't care who's making it. It's just a bad idea. He's the best hitter on your team. And he's young. There's no reason to sit him. It's disgusting.
Welcome to my seat, where part of the job calls for me to listen and then make advice. You know, people get $200 an hour to listen to others' problems.
As a Mets fan, I need therapy. There's no doubt.
Hey, this is what I do. Baseball right now has some good directions and has some bad directions. I am not against, I just want to make sure everyone understands, I am not against the analytics. I'm not. But in doing my job as long as I have done it, I mean, I'm going into my 20th year, and actually the 28th year. I remember running, you know, sitting there and being on air and talking about certain stats back in the 80s, early 90s when I was the third person on the radio network. So it's going to be my 28th season on the Penn State Football Network and my 20th doing play-by-play. It's my 38th season coming up doing basketball. And now, right now, I'm in the middle of my 14th season doing the spikes. So I know about numbers when it comes to sports because I've had numbers handed to me for years. And early in my career, I really relied in my commentary heavily on numbers. I mean, I knew every stat. You name the stat, and going into the game, I was studying every single stat. But you know, Chris, what I discovered over time? And you change as time goes. You find that over time, and that you use stats when you need them, whether they tell a story or maybe they don't tell a story. You know, a team, for example, let's just say, a team is shooting 52% from the field for the season. Let's just pick that number. And on this particular night, they're shooting 39%. Okay, well, that tells you a story that, guess what? They're not only, quote, not shooting well, but maybe your team is playing great defense. How about that? Well, that's where it tells the story. It tells that story. And you use it judiciously. So I've always been somebody that has had a lot of numbers at my disposal. But I think what experience has taught me is that you then try to use the numbers efficiently. That having a feel for the game, a feel for what's in front of you, and describing what's in front of you is far more important. Now, like obviously, this is from an announcer's point of view. I'm not managing or coaching the game. They are. But I think they can help you make certain decisions at certain moments.
Sure.
And research does that. In other words, this particular type of play that we have, teams have run it against them with a 75% success rate. We're going to have to run that play against them at some point.
Right, of course.
Okay. All right, something like that. Now, when it comes to, like, I'm going to do a batting order. There are certain people that understand players. I mean, I would never even conceive, as much as I think I know about baseball. And I announce it, I talk about it, I've watched it my entire life. I would never tell Joe Maddon how to manage a game. Never. I would never tell Tony La Russa how to manage a game. Or Terry Francona, or Alex Cora, or, wouldn't tell any of them.
Because there's a track record there.
Right. Now, Gabe Kapler, I might. No, but I mean...
No, but seriously, but like when Joe Maddon first came up, when he was first doing all his stuff with the Rays and, hitting, and then when he started with the Cubs, hitting the pitcher eighth and blah, 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 and everybody thought it was cute. But then, like, he went and won a World Series, and now it just doesn't matter anymore. He could do whatever he wants. It's all about track record. Mickey Callaway and Gabe Kapler do not have that luxury.
They don't, but at the same time, Mickey Callaway, whatever you think of him, should be allowed to manage
Agreed.
The game.
And
if you don't like in the end after a body of work how he's managing the game, then you are entitled as the management to then remove him. It
Absolutely.
Is not your job. If you want to be the GM and the manager, then you better have both jobs. You better have a uniform on. I mean, you better be in the dugout.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not like front offices in the least making lineups.
I agree with that 100%.
I think, let's get the game back to the dugouts. I understand my preamble to this was about numbers. And I have a great appreciation for numbers. But I think sometimes when you get into something, and early in my career, I was too numbers focused. I was. Now, maybe you're trying to prove to everybody you know what you're doing. Maybe you're trying to prove to everybody you're prepared. Whatever the reason was, who knows? But I thought it was the best way for me early in my career to go about it. Well, later in my career, I've learned something different. I'd say the last 20 years. I mean, I even had somebody. This had to be about 15, 18 years ago, something like that. I remember Jeff Tarman saying to me, he says, I know you don't use numbers as often. He said, you're really, very judicious about using numbers now. Because, he sits there, Jeff listens to every broadcast I do, because over time you then start to realize what's important. And how to use it, and the other times they're not important, so you just don't put it in there, you don't use it because it's not important. That's the problem I'm seeing with analytics these days, is that they're putting importance on every single thing, and they don't have a concept in the math department as to what actually is important and is not important.
Right, well, there's no feel to it. I mean, there's a certain feel to everything, and it's just... some numbers are undeniable and some aren't. Like, if you look at the back of Madison Baumgartner's is the perfect example on why everybody wants to trade for him this year, despite the fact that he's 3-7 with a 4.28 ERA, is because in the playoffs he's unstoppable. And
right.
Those are the numbers that support that, but it's also an eye test thing. Once that guy's in a Yankee uniform playing for the playoffs, everything's going to change.
You're hoping. Now, you
would imagine.
You're always hoping. I mean, but he is the kind of guy that you would think, based on track record, could open the door. Now, for all we know, mechanically he may not quite be right. For all we know, age is caught up with him. There's a lot of different factors here.
Sure.
But you would think, in theory, you are absolutely right. Your theory does absolutely hold a lot of water.
I mean, a 29-year-old guy,
right?
He should be fine. I definitely feel that this year, the case for Madison Bumgarner pitching to his team makes perfect sense.
And his team is not good.
No, they're awful.
Right? His team is not good, so he's not going to get as much help. He's not going to get as much run support. He's not going to get probably the same defensive support that the three championship teams had.
No, and he's probably not motivated in the same way either. Like, there's the matter of motivation, too. It sounds ridiculous that a professional baseball player would be that way.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, he's pitching to a high force ERA every, you know, that's high for him. You know, that's high for him.
Everybody is different. They're individuals. But I always, like, cringe when I hear something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not that you're not accurate, because in some cases it is. But I just know in my own personal thing, I've done, like, basketball seasons that are, like, 7-21. You know, something like that. Like,
right.
Bad season.
Right.
And I'm out there doing game number 28 the same way I did game number 10.
Well, everybody's different.
The same way so it's like, I'll just mail it in. I've never mailed in anything.
I mean, the best example of that is watching what DeGrom did last year, despite the fact that the Mets were awful.
DeGrom was great last year.
And you can see it's wearing on him this year. The emotion he showed, I mean, I don't know how much Mets you watch, but again, you know, as someone who watches every game, he's showing more emotion this year than he ever has because he goes in and takes a lead and then they blow it for him and he's like, enough of this.
I'm trying to keep myself emotionally happy, thus I haven't watched the Mets at all this
Good
year.
For
Back
you.
With more
Good
in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
People have asked about this tune. This is actually from the WKOK Summer Barbecue a year ago. That's the suit on the guitar. It's great.
Really?
He's multi-talented.
Wow.
No. He's multi-talented.
Who saw that coming?
Not even award. He's an award-winning announcer that just entertains the masses in any way possible.
He sure does.
Oh, boy. All right.
hey, you're such a good salesman. I bought that.
Well, that's the difference between me and the suit. I'm a good salesman.
I set him up. You knock him down. What a team.
There you go. All right. Phillies will play the Mets again tonight.
Yes, the Mets are sending Lockett to the mound with his 23.74 ERA.
That's a bit high. Then they play Wednesday night, and then they play an afternoon game, I think, on Thursday. Does that sound right?
I don't have the schedule in front of me. Let me take a look.
I thought you, as a Mets fan, would have this memorized.
No, I'm trying to forget. It's like PTSD, man.
Right. Next half hour.
105, yes. Yes,
the California legislature, and it's passed the state Senate and has now moved to committee to pay to allow California student athletes the right to profit off their likeness. The NCAA sent a cautionary letter to the head of the legislature. We'll get into it next half hour.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on the show today. We always like to get into topics, issues. We don't want to just sit there and go, hey, which color uniform of the Phillies do you like?
I like the powder blue. Oh, sorry. Yeah. We weren't actually terrific. Talking about that? Oh.
No. It's just like, that's not my bag.
Why not? Come on.
But you need to talk about certain issues that I think become important issues along the way.
Well, this one's very important.
And this one deals with the California legislature. As you know, there's been a lot of discussion in the last couple of years in particular about how do you get more money into the hands of student athletes. Along the way, the NCAA actually has made some moves. Stipends, right? Going back to an old, used to be called laundry money, you know, and it was like nominal. It was like $15, $20 a week or something like that back in the 70s. Well, now they have stipends. Okay. They also have nutrition areas, right? Nutrition stations. These have cost athletic departments money, but it's money well spent. And remember, nutrition stations, to me, that's part of your training. That's part of, you know, it's part of your development as an athlete. You need to refuel. So those are some of the steps they've taken. Now, are there additional steps? About 30 to 40% of student athletes, by the way, do qualify for Pell Grants. That's never talked about, you know, to pay that back. And every full scholarship, you know, saying, you know, it's full scholarship, every full scholarship student athlete has an advantage over many of the students at their university. And it's a topic, you know, we just heard Mark Lawrence say they're going to, you know, what advice should Joe Biden take with the debate coming up? All right. Well, this particular week, Senator Bernie Sanders, who will be in that debate running for the Democratic nomination for president, as he did 4 years ago, mm-hmm. Senator Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts, who's running for president for the first time, will also be in that debate. In the last 2 days, each one of them has discussed the topic of college tuition and student loan debt. And each would like to forgive, especially Senator Sanders, student loan debt, which totals about $1.6 trillion in this country. And Elizabeth Warren has talked about the possibility of opening up universities to being tuition free. So let's continue with that topic, where a student athlete that's on a full scholarship is for themselves tuition free and should idealistically walk out of a university debt free, starting from square one, but walking out debt free. So if they want to buy a car, they don't have that student loan payment hanging over their head. If they want to buy a house, you know, they get a job a couple years in, 3-4 years in, whatever it may be, they're not going to have that student loan payment hanging over their head because they ended up being a full scholarship student athlete. while that is not talked about very often, it's always talked about how do you pay them? That they're earning all this money off their backs in athletic departments, which now brings us to California. California State Legislature has a bill that has passed the state Senate in California. The bill in question passed the state Senate a month ago. There are two state assembly committees now that are going to have hearings on the bill that would allow student athletes at California schools to earn extra compensation for the use of their name, image, and likeness beginning in 2023. This led to a letter being written by NCAA President Mark Emmert to the two committee chairs. It said, "We recognize all of the efforts that have been undertaken to develop this bill in the context of complex issues related to the current collegiate model that have been the subject of litigation and much national debate." Okay, fair start. "Nonetheless, when contrasted with current NCAA rules as drafted, the bill threatens to alter materially the principles of intercollegiate athletics and create local differences that would make it impossible to host fair national championships. As a result, it likely would have a negative impact on the exact student athletes it intends to assist in California." So what he is threatening to do, and the NCAA is threatening to do, is that if California passes this law, and the NCAA doesn't have any legislation in the meantime, it would remove all the California teams from participating in national championships. Now, in particular, this would hurt, quote, the non-revenue sports. Keep in mind that California, this is a country of about 330 million. California has a population of nearly 40 million. So 12% of the U.S. population lives in California. Right? The state brings with it, because of that population, the number 2, number 8, number 20, number 29, and number 54 media markets in the country. Not everyone in California, obviously, follows college sports, but many do. And it isn't just Stanford, UCLA, Cal, USC, San Diego State. This includes Cal San Luis Obispo, Cal Northridge, Cal Bakersfield. You keep going through the long list of Cal Davis, all
UC,
these
Santa
schools.
Cruz, San Jose State, et cetera.
Not just San Diego State, but the University of San Diego. Okay, they're all there. Fresno State, San Jose State. And so it's extensive. So now what do you do with this? If you eliminate them from the national championship, so we're taking the worst case scenario here. So this is all worst case scenario. It's all theory. But the threat is you can't participate. All right. Let's just look at the past year. The first two rounds of the NCAA women's basketball tournament happened to be at Stanford in Palo Alto. Baseball Super Regional, which Michigan won, in Los Angeles. Softball Super Regional, Los Angeles. Men's Soccer Championship, Santa Barbara. Men's and Women's Water Polo Championship, Stockton and Palo Alto. Where was the College Football Playoff National Championship game?
I think it might have been at the Rose Bowl.
It was at Levi's Stadium, home of the 49ers in Santa Clara.
And then you lose the Rose Bowl, too.
Right. Where was the West Regional for the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament? Anaheim. Yikes. Okay?
Crazy.
You have the Holiday Bowl in San Diego, the Red Box Bowl in Santa Clara, and, yes, the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. So do you now start eliminating all of these things to do this? Now, do I think it's going to get to this point? No. But it is an interesting discussion point on a show like this.
Okay. So number
and,
one. Okay, go ahead. Sorry. I have a
question.
Okay.
So let's get to a couple of quick quotes here. The NCAA is doing some working groups right now. And California legislators who are involved in the bill have essentially declined Emmert's request to hold off. They said it is the intent of the legislature to monitor the NCAA working group, and they are working on it, and revisit this issue to implement significant findings and recommendations of the NCAA working group in furtherance of the statutory changes proposed by this act. Annie Pham, a spokesman for Assemblymember Kasan Chu, who's a Democrat from San Jose and is the chair of one of the upcoming hearings, said, quote, "We wanted to say that we know that a process is going on now, but we do not want to see something substantial come out of that stakeholder group. So the bid to delay alone may not work out for the NCAA." Your question, please.
So I'm just to make sure I'm understanding, the bill says it has nothing to do necessarily with the school themselves paying players of any sport. It's about the player's ability to make money on their own likeness, their name, or anything like that, correct?
Yes.
So how is this... And this has been my thing from the beginning, all the way back to Terrell Pryor selling his autograph or whatever, or right. The whole thing. How does that hurt the NCAA, and why would they draw a line in the sand over this? Like, I would understand if the state legislature were saying, you have to pay your players. But that's not what they're saying. They're saying if you use the likeness, like, there's no more NCAA football video game anymore because they weren't allowed to use the likenesses anymore because it was ethically wrong to use these players without paying them. So that's why it stopped. So why not just allow it and let these players, like, let a Kyler Murray make the money he's so deserved because he's making you hand over fist dollars. Let him make a few shekels on the side if he sells his jerseys or if he signs an autographed football or whatever, right? I don't understand why they would draw this line in the sand, and that is my question.
Well, they're drawing the line in the sand because they don't have legislation themselves in the NCAA. They don't have their own ruling yet. So what would happen would be is a potential competitive advantage. If you are a student athlete and you have an opportunity, Chris, to get a scholarship to Arizona State, mm-hmm. and you have an opportunity to get a scholarship to UCLA.
I'd go to UCLA. Without question.
That's it. And why would you do that?
Because I can make money there. So why not just... Right. Why doesn't the NCAA do the right thing and just say, okay, fine, why don't we do this across the board? That's my question. But
that's where I think you do need a little bit of time, even though it feels like it's been taking a long time, because it has. I'm one that wants to sit in that room and say, okay, let's discuss... Okay, the theory is good in principle. What are the unintended consequences? And are there some rules that we have to tweak within this proposal to take care of as many unintended consequences as possible? That's what you're looking at. Let me give you one, the transfer rule. The transfer rule, okay, is the transfer rule. The original proposal was to make it wide open for everybody last August. And they said, no, we're just going to go in with the portal, and the portal's going to start October 15th. Now, what's happened since, and it's a problem, but what has happened since is they started granting waivers. Well, the waivers are a foul ball right now, where they've really, to me, botched up the waivers. you've got to have a better rule, or at least better wording in the rule that discusses the waivers. So I think that was one, like, you know, they rushed it out 1 year too soon. It was like that rule was a rush job. You know, I don't want a rush job, especially in something this important. And I agree on likeness and so forth, but is there a limit? How do you do it?
Okay.
Well, is there somebody in the athletic department in compliance that has to take care of it?
But why?
Are you allowed to get the money right away?
But that's what I'm saying. Why?
Are you allowed to get the money in the trust fund?
Why would that all have to be a thing? If you're an adult, because that's really what it is. That's what it's all about. If I'm an 18-year-old kid and I'm an adult.
But what's an adult?
Steve Jones, come on. Don't be that guy.
Hold on. Hold on a second now. Okay, Steve Jones will educate you.
Oh, please.
If you wish. If you're 16 years old.
Right.
What can you do?
You can get a job.
You can drive in certain states.
Sure.
But in 16, can you vote?
No.
And that's... I'm not done. Can you go to the military?
No.
Can you go to the state store?
I don't even know what that is. I'm going to be honest with you. Educate me there. Is that a liquor store? What is that?
Wine, spirits,
whatever.
Oh,
yeah. No, you can't. No.
No. Okay. Okay. 18.
You can't drive. Do that either. Right.
No. 18. Can you drive?
Yes.
Okay. Can you join the military?
Yes.
Okay. Can you go to the state store?
No.
Okay. 21. You can drive. You can go to the state store. You can join the military. See, they're all different levels that you're considered to be, quote, an adult.
Right, and that's ridiculous.
We do not have a hard and fast rule on what the age is on being an adult.
Okay.
If you want to buy, for example, if you want to ruin certain things and smoke, you can't do that till you're 21, technically.
18.
Right. Can't do that. So there are all these different levels where there is no hard and fast number that says you're an adult. You're 18, you're an adult. Nah, you're really not.
You know? I mean, you can do everything but drink alcohol, though. Like, you can literally do everything but drink. You can legally work in this country. That's the main thing. You can legally work as many hours as you like.
But you don't have all of the rights
That's an ugly gray line. That's an ugly gray area. That's a very ugly gray area. You mean to tell me, as an 18-year-old, you're telling me that it sounds right to anybody under the sun that a college or any entity could use my likeness, my face, my name, my skills to make money off me and then not pay me?
But they aren't. In what way are they using your likeness? You're not allowed to use likeness.
What?
Guess what?
Every Saturday on the field.
That is not your likeness. That's you playing the game.
During the pregame, they're showing him throw the ball and the whole thing.
You got to take your emotion out of this, and you got to come at it from a different point of view. When you look at a poster now, do you see a picture of a player in a poster anymore?
No, but you do see it during the pregame, during the slow motions, and they're holding the football, doing the little posed thing.
Guess what? And guess what you got for doing that? You got a scholarship.
Oh, boy.
Which means... Excuse me. How many student loans do you have?
I have two, actually.
Yeah. Guess how many student loans Saquon Barkley has?
Yeah, he has none. I get that.
That's right.
But Saquon Barkley could have gone to Suffolk Community College and been noticed.
The third string offensive tackle who plays only at the end in the last 2 minutes of a blowout game on scholarship. Has no student loans.
But that's a different story. That person is a different story. It's absolutely different.
No, it is not. No, it is not. Because I'm telling you right now that if they put the likeness thing in, I can guarantee this, now, 10 years in advance, there will be an initial rush, and you'll see a lot of people do likeness. And then after businesses sit there and go, am I getting a return on this? It's going to get whittled down, and it's only going to be maybe 8 to 15 athletes on any campus out of 800.
Right, of course. And that's what it should be, because the stars should only get the likeness thing anyway. That's just like in any other sport under the sun. I mean, they get paid.
So this bill is not like, all these athletes are going to benefit. No.
No, of course not.
It's going to be 8 to 15 of them. And right. Now what you're trying to prevent is this, right? Chris Elio Motors, okay, guarantees cars and $2 million if you sign to go to play for said university.
Right? Okay.
Okay.
What's wrong with that? I don't understand the problem with that. I don't get it. Like, I'm maybe, you're right. I have emotion involved to it, but...
Not even in the NFL do you get that. You get drafted. Okay? You're making money off your likeness and everything, but you don't really get to pick where you go.
Well, I mean, you can, but it's difficult. John Elway got to go where he wanted to go. There are players in the past that have chosen where they wanted to go. Has happened. It's not
one
pretty.
One guy.
Well, not one. There's others, too. I just can't think of them. But it does happen.
But they don't pick, essentially.
But again...
99.9%. But now you have a financial influence.
Right.
These are the unintended consequences that you've got to work out.
They don't get the...
How do you do this? Does compliance have to be involved? Do you have a trust fund? Are you allowed to get the money right away? Are you allowed to only get it once you graduate from school? There's a lot of layers to this. And don't ever, anybody ever tell me that a scholarship, food, room, board, books, okay, where you don't have to pay a dime for it, has no financial benefit. $1.6 trillion in student debt in this country. And you actually have some reporters out there that have the unmitigated gall to tell me that a scholarship doesn't mean anything.
Oh, I didn't say that.
I mean,
but...
do you? I'm not saying you.
No, I know.
But my point is to the people trying to drive this agenda, do you read the news? If you don't, take your head out of the sand. Right? $1.6 trillion. You know what student athlete on full scholarship debt when they leave is? Zero. That'll contribute to the $1.6 trillion at all. They don't have any.